Are you over 50 and constantly feeling tired, bloated, or just a little off? Don't ignore it. Those could be signs that your liver is crying for help. As we age, our liver, which is essential for metabolism, digestion, immunity, and detoxification, needs extra support and protection. If neglected, it can leave you feeling sluggish and constantly off your game. That's where Active Liver from New Nordic comes in. Available in easy-to-take tablets or delicious gummies, Active Liver combines powerful natural ingredients like turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke extract to help support healthy liver function. With Active Liver, you're giving your body an essential daily defense against toxins from alcohol, fatty foods, and sweets, helping you reclaim your energy, improve digestion, lose the bloat, and strengthen your immunity so you can look and feel your best again. Protect your liver and give it the support that it deserves by making Active Liver from New Nordic part of your daily wellness routine. Find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS, Meijer Grocery, or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
Listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Uncertainty over tariffs after President Trump sent letters out to more than a dozen countries, extending this week's reciprocal tariff deadline to August 1st. The president suggesting at a cabinet meeting the letter signals the end of talks, not the beginning.
A letter means a deal. You know, a lot of people said, we got 200 countries. We can't meet with 200 countries. We have a few trusted people that know what they're doing, that are doing a good job, but you can't do it. You have to do it in a more general way, but it's a very good way.
The president also says he plans to impose a 50% tariff on copper. In Texas, the death toll has now risen to 108 following the July 4th flash floods along the Guadalupe River. Crews are still searching for at least 20 that are missing. Sentencing for Sean Diddy Combs now set for October 3rd, a judge announcing that date at a post-conviction hearing. The music mogul was found guilty last week of prostitution-related charges. Defense attorneys dropped calls to expedite sentencing. This is ABC News. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu held meetings with the House Speaker today and is planning a second day of talks with President Trump tonight at the White House. The president pushing for a Gaza ceasefire deal.
Meeting at the Capitol with the House Speaker, the Israeli Prime Minister said he remains intent on obtaining the release of all the hostages and destroying Hamas's ability to attack Israel and to govern Gaza.
Because Gaza must have a different future, for our sake, for everyone's sake.
With delicate negotiations still underway in Qatar, Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel would accept a 60-day ceasefire. It's a deal being pushed by the Trump administration.
We think that we've gotten closer to it. And I hope we can cross the line.
Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
A heat wave in Greece prompting officials to announce the Acropolis in Athens will close during the hottest hours of the day. Temperatures climbing to 107 degrees in some areas. Officials have also imposed mandatory breaks for outdoor workers during peak hours. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Hey, that's the spirit. Right now, we're celebrating free with a free STP oil filter when you buy 5 quarts of oil and free Duralast brake pads when you buy 2 rotors. Like always, free battery testing, charging, and recycling at every store. Celebrate free at AutoZone, now through July 28th.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
If Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea was your best friend, it would be the kind of friend that starts an impromptu dance party in the supermarket aisle that turns into an all-day pool party rager at your place, and you don't even own a pool. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea turns any day into a legendary adventure. It's smooth and refreshing real iced tea with just the right kick of alcohol. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, filling in for Ted Allen. I'm Raymond Newpert. 2 people dead and 1 more injured in an incident in rural Portage County. Mike Leishner has an update.
It started with a well-being check on a home in the town of New Hope, located between Stevens Point and Iola, on Sunday. Officers found 2 deceased with gunshot wounds, and a 3rd person was shot and injured when they approached officers with a weapon. That person has been hospitalized, and the officer who fired has been placed on administrative leave. Names of those involved have not been released.
Investigators from Wood and Marathon counties will be handling that case, with Portage County District Attorney Cass Cousins reviewing the results for potential charges. No further details have been released. Superior Mayor Jim Payne says an agreement with the city's privately owned water utility will allow the city to administer federal funds for lead service line replacement. Payne credits Governor Tony Evers for waiting to sign enabling legislation until that deal was reached. Another feature of the newly signed budget includes the establishment of a state film office that will offer film and TV production tax credits. Action Wisconsin founder Katie Heil says it will help attract and retain talent in the state. $5 million in credits will be available during each fiscal year. An investigation is underway in western Wisconsin after seven people were rescued from being sucked through the Vernon County Genoa Lock and Dam that happened around 1:30 on Monday. Sheriff Roy Torgerson reminds everyone to wear their personal flotation devices, a life jacket, and have the proper safety equipment. Fire Chief Mike Hansen reminds people to stay away from the dam while it's in under operation. The homes of several UW Regents were vandalized last week with pro-Palestinian messages. The Wisconsin State Journal reports that at least four homes were vandalized. One of those messages read, "Regents are complicit in genocide." UW-Madison students established a pro-Palestinian encampment last year. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly cloudy and mild, with highs making it to the mid-80s. We've also got a chance of showers and thunderstorms sparking up this afternoon as a cold front pushes through. They aren't expected to be severe and they'll wind down by midnight, leaving us tomorrow with plenty of sunshine and highs in the low 80s. Need a getaway or change of scenery? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Currently, 82 degrees.
By Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, hello and welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Always good to have you along for the conversation as we talk about issues in farming, ranching, and impacting rural America. I'm Jesse Allen. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk markets in just a moment with Garrett Toy from Ag Trader Talk, get his perspective on where things stand this week in the market trade. Coming up in segment two, we're going to have a conversation and learn more about the SNAP Ed program. It's different than the SNAP program, which, of course, has been a hot topic of conversation with everything going on with the One Big Beautiful Bill. We're going to learn more about this and maybe where the program could go from here. Jennifer McCaffrey, Illinois Extension Assistant Dean and Program Leader for Family and Consumer Sciences, is going to join us for a conversation about that coming up in segment two. After the bottom of the hour, we're going to look at the latest Ag Economy Barometer out from Purdue University and the CME Group. Dr. Jim Mintert, Professor Emeritus at Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, will be with us for that conversation. Then at the end of the show, Bill Bullard with RCAF recently testified on Capitol Hill. We're going to learn about that and what his testimony centered around. That's coming up at the end of today's program. Let's get things started and take a look at markets. Joining us now, Garrett Toy with Ag Trader Talk. Garrett, good to hear from you again. And not a great day to talk grain markets, I would say, considering the reversal out Monday after the 4th of July holiday. And it looks like a little more follow through with the markets on Tuesday.
Yeah, is there anything else, Jesse, you want to talk about other than grains? I kid. No, it you know, markets have really came under pressure after this 4th of July holiday, and you know, the trade into the holiday potentially was a setup. You know, we were expecting some sort of big trade announcement from President Trump with a speech in Iowa, and nothing really developed. It was more of a campaign speech, and wasn't really necessarily focused on trade deals. And then, you know, the weather, I mean, it's, you know, how many years do we come back from the 4th of July and see these types of sell-off? And it's you know, the weather's benign out through mid-July, it looks like. The western Corn Belt's going to see rains. At some point, you know, we're going to need some rain in the eastern Corn Belt. Indiana, Ohio remains dry. And even, you know, the, what do we call it, the southeast two-thirds of Illinois. It seems like, I-39 is kind of a cutoff there as far as rainfall. So, the Eastern Corn was going to need some rain. You know, I think everyone's kind of focused on the rains in the West and how, good the crops look out there. But we're just kind of that time of year where seasonalities are kicking in and we're trading lower. Add in the uncertainty about trade deals, the rhetoric about tariffs going to 25% with Japan and South Korea, August 1st. And, who was our, two of our three largest export inspections to yesterday morning? Japan and South Korea. I mean, they're major corn buyers. So, we need to get some deals done. We need to get some things closed. I mean, uncertainty is not good for anyone, especially, us producers who are trying to run a business. We need some certainty put into this market. And, right now, with the uncertainty on the demand side, the market's focus is on supply, and this is just kind of a typical seasonal type sell-off.
Well, and I know funds, the delayed commitment of traders, we added to our shorts in corn and beans, I believe. And, Garrett, it really just feels like these grain markets in particular, the algorithm's kind of stuck. And until we get some sort of bullish type of news, it just feels like we're going to capitulate lower here. It just feels like this algorithm and this whole trade is stuck until we get enough of a bullish story to at least, fix the algorithm, so to speak.
Yes, to some extent. I mean, the algorithms and whatnot get a lot of blame for this, but at the end of the day, will they push things further than what they typically would go? Yes, but I mean, these type of moves are fairly, I mean, like I said, the seasonals, the 4th of July, we typically do that. Now, the interesting thing is part of that commitment of traders in corn, you've got buyers and you've got sellers. It's just whether that net position is, more sellers than buyers. I hate saying that, but mm-hmm. Actually, it's interesting. Over the last several weeks, we've actually had new longs entering this corn market. So maybe that's part of the reason that, we've been down so hard here, is that some of those new longs are capitulating in here. But, we've had new buying come in here. People, funds that are willing to, step in and take some length in here. In fact, the fund long has actually bought about 24,000 contracts over the last 2 weeks. But, the problem is that the shorts have added about 48,000 contracts over the same time period, and the shorts have actually added new shorts to their position over the last 5 weeks. So that's the problem, is that the shorts are in control here. We are seeing some fun longs trying to develop in here, but it's, you've got to think that we go back to last year, last fall, when we got sub $4 corn, we found a lot of demand, right? We know that that's a value area for corn. Perhaps we see that buying step in here again. The problem is, again, with the trade deals and the trade wars going on right now, things might be a little more uncertain. That being said as well, seasonality, when do we find a bottom, as you kind of alluded to before? At this point, August, the trend is pointing down towards that August seasonal harvest low type of thing.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be just interesting to watch as we move forward, for sure. Final 90 seconds or so here, Garrett. Cattle, at least that's a bright spot, continues to be. It looks like a little more green in futures on Tuesday, and cash may be steady this week, some of the indications I'm hearing, but cattle continues to impress and surprise a lot of folks, I think.
Yeah, the fats are starting to come back up after we had that sell-off back towards in August towards the 210 levels. Your guess is as good as mine as far as cash this week. I would probably be safe to assume that it is going to be steady. I think that, perhaps given the sell-off that we had over the last 2-3 weeks, people are kind of anticipating a post 4th of July low in demand, because these shadows are starting to get longer, and we're into the shorter days of summer. in seasonal peaks in demand may have caught some people short here, and I think that's probably driving things a little bit too.
Garrett, anything else you're watching in the markets this week or any reminders you'd have for producers?
You know, I just at this point of the game, I mean, if you, keep focusing on production. You know, the market is a sell the rumor, buy the fact type of market, and it looks like the seasonalities are going to be the same thing. There will be opportunities to market grain. Don't get caught. Don't forget about, you know, 26 or even 27 making some sales out there. Just keep with your marketing plan.
Garrett Toy, Ag Trader Talk. Always good to hear from you, my friend. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks. Take care. Talk to you soon.
Garrett Toy joining us here on AOA. Up next, we're going to talk about the SNAP Ed program. Jennifer McCaffrey with Illinois Extension joins us next on AOA. On the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we got an update on trade and tariffs and the importance of having new markets and demand for corn with Nancy Martinez and Jolene Reeson from the NCGA.
What's really important to realize is it's all about demand. Corn growers need new markets to create that demand. And more demand ultimately puts positive pressure on prices so farmers can make a living. So we have to have these new markets to boost demand and ultimately allow our farmers to be able to, you know, financially put back into their local communities.
I mean, we do a good job feeding what we can to the livestock that's available. But, you know, as farmers, we're too good at what we do. And so we make extra, which is for the farm economy, which is great, because if you don't have it, you can't sell it. For the economic part of it, too much is burdensome. And so we need markets to move this product.
Learn more online at ncga.com.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope, their hope.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA as we continue today. Of course, there has been a lot of talk in the news cycles about what was happening with the tax package and the One Big Beautiful Bill and so much more on Capitol Hill. And with that, there was a lot of discussion about the SNAP program, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. We want to learn about something that's related, but they are technically distinct programs. And that's the SNAP Ed program. Here to tell us more about this and have a conversation, she is the Assistant Dean for Family and Consumer Sciences at the University of Illinois Extension, Jennifer McCaffrey. Jennifer, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
I would love to just start, as I kind of indicated, you know, when folks hear SNAP, they immediately think of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. But as I understand it, SNAP Ed is different than just the SNAP program. Can you give us a little bit of a background and distinction on this?
Yes, of course. Yes, the SNAP Ed program is a nutrition education program designed to assist those who are eligible for SNAP or those who are lower income to make healthier choices and to stretch their food dollars. So basically how to access the healthy fruits, vegetables, how to feed their families on a budget. And we also work with community organizations who are trying to do the same thing. So food pantries, schools, community centers to best serve the individuals to have access to those healthy foods.
Okay. Now, as I also alluded to, there's been so much talk about the changes that have been passed through the One Big Beautiful Bill and some of the pullbacks to the SNAP program itself. What does this mean for the SNAP Ed program, Jennifer? I know it's only been a couple of days and folks like yourself are maybe still sorting through all of this legislation, but what does the future hold for the SNAP Ed program?
Yeah, so unfortunately, in the One Big Beautiful Bill, the SNAP Ed program was zeroed out. So after 30 years of existence, the program is no longer going to be funded past this current fiscal year. And so, of course, as you can imagine, with just a few days past, all of us who do the SNAP Ed program are trying to figure out what's next for us and the nutrition education program that we operate in each of our states. So SNAP Ed is national, and here in Illinois, I oversee the program. So we're just working through those details.
Well, of course, I immediately think of a couple buckets here, Jennifer. And, you know, first off, is some of that education that you alluded to for folks who have been eligible for the SNAP program and making sure they understand different healthy, nutritious foods they can eat, et cetera, et cetera. I think about how those folks who are on the program could be affected here moving forward. That's obviously where my first train of thought goes to. I mean, talk about that from your perspective, just some of your initial feelings here on what this will mean.
Yeah, so a lot of our education and work is done in schools. So we work alongside teachers, we work alongside after school programs. And so as we look to the fall, we will not be scheduling those programs anymore. So schools will definitely be impacted. They won't have that support, that assistance. The other area is child care centers, so working with those families, coming out, providing those demonstrations, and then at food pantries. Some of the things that you know, we have messages in our websites, and you know, I think we'll have to decide as a university how do those things get maintained. But yeah, definitely the schools will be one of our biggest partners that is impacted.
And I would say another area, of course, that I would think about too is just, and you alluded to this, folks such as yourself who are part of the SNAP Ed program in states like Illinois and do the community outreach and more and administer these programs. I obviously feel like that's there's a lot of potential for loss of employment and things of that nature, right, Jennifer?
Absolutely. So in Illinois alone, SnapEd supported 230 employees. And so we are going through the process of looking at laying off those 230 employees, which is about a third of our Illinois Extension workforce. So in Illinois, we have a big program. And so, yeah, it's a third of the Extension workforce. Across the country, as someone had shared with me, it could be up to 4,000 employees or more.
And staggering numbers to think about. Jennifer McCaffrey, Assistant Dean, Family and Consumer Sciences with the University of Illinois, is with us here today. What could be done going forward from here? Is there any way to revamp some of these programs, in your opinion, to try and find ways forward or find different sources of funding potentially? I know it's a I'm sure it's a lot more questions than answers right now, but anything on your mind to try and keep things going moving forward here, Jennifer, or is it just a lot of unknown right now?
Well, I'm pretty creative, so that's where my mind is already going, thinking how can we revamp this and what does the future look like for community nutrition education and programs like this. I've been involved in community nutrition my whole career, so a little, right around 25 years. And so I know communities, I know what they need, I know the partners. And so we know, well, is there possibilities with health care? That's a natural partner for us because we know the nutrition and the food we provide. And some people may have heard of food is medicine or food as medicine. And so is there a route partnering with healthcare? We have a whole suite of offerings like, you know, messaging, and we have a website called Fine Food Illinois, and thinking, oh, well, maybe someone would want to work with us to keep those things going. There are other government entities, so looking to see if there are ways that we could partner with some of our state partners, public health. But, you know, it all comes down to $2, to funding the dollars. And so we'll be looking to see if there's some natural partners who would like to keep this going and that we could work with.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely stay in touch as you work through some of those different avenues. Final thoughts here, Jennifer. We have about 90 seconds. And when I think about the SNAP program and education surrounding it and more, my mind always comes to making sure folks understand the benefits of, you know, nutritious foods, meat, milk, eggs, vegetables, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I feel like that's at the core mission of what you guys do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I think there's a strong connection between the food that is grown and the food that is eaten. And being working for the University of Illinois Extension, much of what we've done in our nutrition education programs has been connecting back to that local food that is grown. I worked on several projects where we actually had funding to purchase, different funding, but purchase local products, and then those products were given to families that needed food. And the nutrition education was a central piece of that process. And so, yeah, food and agriculture go hand in hand. The eaters buy what is grown. And when we can point to the local products, you know, that's what we're here to do. So, yeah, anybody that has ideas, reach out to us at illinois.edu, and we'd love to chat.
Jennifer McCaffrey, Assistant Dean, Family and Consumer Sciences, University of Illinois Extension. Jennifer, good to talk with you. Be well, and we'll look forward to talking with you again real soon.
All right, thank you for having me.
Up next, we'll talk with Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture right here on AOA.
Cats are masters at using up their 9 lives, like chasing laser pointers into walls or jumping onto high shelves. But the one thing cats never do? Text while driving. So be like a cat and protect your one and only life. Don't text and drive.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk. Here's Check of the Market.
From blazing heat to pounding rain, your crops are facing it all. In-season aerial applications are the perfect chance to apply fungicides and stress-reducing products that help your crops stay resilient. And don't forget the hay. Haymaker delivers the nutrients your forage needs for high-quality, healthy growth. Apply after cuttings 1 and 3 or 2 and 4 and set your fields up for success. Questions? Visit Elsevia.com or call 608-819-4401. Elsevia, they're here to help.
Milk markets were lower. Reporting from the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, I'm Brian Winnikins with this market update on WRDN. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk down 33 to 1781. September down 26 to 1851. October down 21 to 1855. November down 8 at 1883. Meanwhile, triple-digit gains on the live and feeder cattle markets as the boxed beef prices continue to move mostly higher. Buyer demand remains ample in the countryside, and thanks to the added technical support of traders willing to invest in the futures complex, live and feeder cattle markets just continue to move sharply higher. Hog markets were mostly mixed on the day as there's been wild price swings lately in pork cutouts, and that as traders being cautious if demand stabilizes, there's a chance that the future complex should establish some footing. But it was a mixed type of trade today. August live cattle up 407 to 219.97. August feeder cattle up at 540 to 319.12, and July hogs up 2 cents to 106.97. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all were mostly lower once again as yesterday's sharply lower prices pressured the markets. Crop condition ratings were also seen as very good, and President Trump's trade issues potentially that could happen August 1st also pressured markets. New crop corn down 6.5 to 414 and a quarter. New crop beans down 3.25 to 1017 and a half.
You've got so much glorious summer to fill. What are you going to do with it? Easy answer, do it your way at MOA. Do it up with Nickelodeon Universe's Ultimate Summer Party, Dora's 25th Anniversary Celebration, slimy fun events and hair-raising rides. Do Crayola Experience for the littlest ones. And here's a bright idea. Do it smart with MOA Attraction Bundles and the no-worries 72 degrees and sunny forecast every day. That's your summer, your way at MOA. MallOfAmerica.com.
It's good to know that your Touchstone Energy Cooperative is always there. For generations, we've powered the growth of our neighborhoods, our businesses, and everything in between. Today, our commitment is stronger than ever to provide affordable energy you can depend on and keep you connected to what matters most, now and for generations to come.
Riverland Energy is your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back as we continue here on AOA, Agriculture of America. We were slated to talk with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley today, but we have to push that back a day. So we're going to talk with Senator Grassley on tomorrow's program. In the meantime, before the 4th of July holiday, I was able to catch up with Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue University's Center for Commercial Agriculture to talk about the latest release of the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer. Saw a little bit of a drop in this month's barometer. Let's get the details and take a listen to that conversation with Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue University here on AOA.
Well, we saw the latest release of the Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer showing farmer sentiment weakened a bit in June following a couple of months of improvement. Here to tell us more about the numbers and talk to us about it, Professor Emeritus of Agricultural Economics at Purdue University at the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, Dr. Jim Mintert. Jim, it's good to hear from you again. How are you, sir?
Very well. It's good to be on the program again.
Well, as I mentioned, we saw a little bit of a weakening in farmer sentiment in June. We had a couple months there where things were trending higher, but a little bit of a pullback here for this month. Where do things stand? What's the top line numbers, Jim?
Yeah, so the barometer itself did fall 12 points to a reading of 146, down from 158 a month ago. That still leaves the barometer much stronger than it was this time last year. This time last year it was at 105. And I think listeners probably remember that, you know, the barometer really did improve last fall. It started to improve before the November election, but really following the election, it improved substantially. And so we lost a little of that optimism, but we have really retained most of it. And if you look at why the barometer went down this month, it was really about the fact that people became somewhat less optimistic about the future than they were back in May. The future expectation index, I think, came in at a reading of 146. I think that was down 18 points compared to the prior month. The index of current conditions was only down a couple of points, so it was a reading of 144. So both of those indices, though, are well above where they were this time last year. So it was really about the fact that people felt somewhat less optimistic about the future. No big change with respect to current conditions.
Is there any key factors as to why people were feeling a little less optimistic about the future? I mean, I know there's plenty of uncertainty out there in ag right now. Was there anything that stood out by and large, Jim?
Well, we think that probably the biggest driver of the shifts in sentiment we've seen these last couple months have really been about people's expectations for ag exports. You know, historically, growth in ag exports has been the engine of growth for the U.S. ag sector. And over the last 5 years, we've been asking questions about this every month, going back to the beginning of 2019. And the question says, over the next 5 years, do you think ag exports are more likely to increase, decrease, or remain about the same? We first started asking this question in 2019, early 2020. We were getting response rates of 50 to 70% saying they thought ag exports were going to increase over the upcoming 5 years. That percentage was declining over time. And on the chart, you can really see the downtrend that showed up there. But all of a sudden in May, we became a lot more optimistic about ag exports, and we went from just a little over 30% of the people in the survey saying that they thought ag exports would increase to 52% in May. In June, that percentage dropped back to 41%. So if you think about why sentiment bumped up in May, I think a chunk of it was related to ag export expectations. If you think about sentiment weakening here in June, I think a chunk of it was related to a change in a reduction in people's optimism with respect to ag exports.
Looking at the Farm Financial Performance Index and the Farm Capital Investment Index, we saw the performance index down 5 points. Capital investment went up 5 points, though, and I feel like maybe those two indexes are a little bit tied together. Jim, I mean, talk about the results for those.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise that the capital investment index went up while the Farm Financial Performance Index went down. But there were neither one of them were big shifts. I mean, they were 5-point moves in both cases. Farm Financial Performance Index is still above last year. It's a reading of 104. That's down from 109. And what that really says is people think that farm financial performance in 2025 will be equal to or maybe a little bit better than it was in 2024. And I know, you know, in corn and soybean country, some people wonder about that, but I think it's important to remember the impact of the livestock sector. Roughly 1 out of 4 people in the survey have a livestock enterprise. And about one out of five people in the survey have a beef enterprise. So especially for cattle producers, especially cow-calf operations, returns have been very positive, and that does feed into that Farm Financial Performance Index. And the capital investment index, you know, the index went up a little, and really that's about a question, revolves from a question that says, is now a good time or a bad time to make large investments in your farming operations? So it's kind of a sentiment question. We ask a follow-up question, though, and says, what are your plans for farm machinery purchases in the upcoming year compared to a year ago? And that percentage, people, the percentage of people actually told us they're going to pull back on farm machinery actually increased 6 points. So the investment index was up a little bit, telling us that people think it's maybe a little better time to make investments. But we ask them more specifically, are you going to go out and buy some new farm machinery? Apparently not. So, and I think that's supported by the ag equipment manufacturer data with respect to sales. So I don't necessarily think that capital investment index is going to be translating into more investment in things like buildings and equipment and farm machinery. But maybe people felt like it's a little bit better. And again, I think that probably gets back to that idea with respect to what they think is going to happen with ag trade.
Dr. Jim Mintert with Purdue University Center for Commercial Agriculture joining us here today on AOA. And, you know, Jim, you and I have talked about this countless times over the last several months when we've discussed the barometer results. And I think some of that investment and more, and you look at short-term farmland value expectations, that index fell a little bit as well in June. But it all kind of comes back to that cost-price squeeze that is out there in farm country right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, producers continue to tell us that their number one concern is high input cost, and that really gets at this issue of cost-price squeeze. Their number two concern is low prices for the things that they produce, whether it be crops or livestock. So, you know, that is the cost-price squeeze question. And I think, again, people have an anchor point with respect to what cost of production is. And for a lot of folks, it's in that pre-COVID area with respect to what it costs to raise corn, soybeans, wheat, et cetera. Versus what it costs today, and all those costs are, well, not all, but almost all those costs are elevated relative to that time frame. Break evens are very much elevated compared to that earlier time frame. So that continues to be a big concern for folks. They've got a lot of dollars on the line, and that's a cause for concern. As you look at it, the one thing that's maybe shifted a little bit is we have fewer people worried about interest rates than what we had earlier. I think this month it was down to about 11%, and that's down from earlier in the year. I think we had up around 15%. So, you know, there's certainly some discussions about the possibility that rates might come down in the latter half of this year. So that remains to be seen how that's going to shake out. But I think people are less worried about that than they were earlier. That's the one thing that's maybe a little bit positive, but clearly worried about those break-evens.
I know over the last 4 months of the barometer, you guys have been asking about farmers' thoughts on the impact of tariffs and more, and what that could mean for farm income. And obviously, there is so much uncertainty surrounding this whole tariff trade situation. It seems like it changes by the day, by the week, et cetera. What are you hearing from farmers, though? How concerned are they when it comes to tariffs and this whole changing landscape for U.S. ag trade?
Yeah, that's a good question. So you mentioned we've been asking the same question now 4 months in a row. And the question says, what impact do you expect the U.S. government's imposition of tariffs on imports will have on your farm's income in 2025? And there's been a little bit of a shift over that time frame. And you kind of compare the responses we were getting in March and April versus the responses we got in May and June. And you can kind of see a little bit of a shift there. Fewer people in May and June are telling us that they're worried about the imposition of tariffs on farm income. Now, overall, it's still a big concern, but not quite as much of a concern as what we were picking up in those earlier months. Early on, you know, there was a lot of concern. Tariffs were going to lead to borders closing, exports really being clamped down on or shut down. A little less of that concern in the current environment, but still a big concern for folks.
Jim, any other thoughts as you look across the entire ag economy barometer results for this month, or anything you would reiterate to folks listening in today?
Well, I think one of the questions going forward, especially with the Senate and the House both passing versions of the reconciliation bill, how that's going to shake out and what that means for agriculture. Because I think one of the sources for uncertainty and one of the things that's got people concerned is, you know, what's going to happen with respect to foreign policy going forward and how much support they can expect. So we'll have a question on the upcoming survey thinking about that to maybe learn a little bit more about where people are at with respect to how foreign policy might play out. And we might or might not have a bill passed by then. We'll see how that shakes out.
We're going to be tracking it, and we are going to continue to follow along with farmer sentiment with the Ag Economy Barometer. Folks can go to ag.purdue.edu/commercial-ag for more, or they can Google the Ag Economy Barometer for more details with that. Dr. Jim Minter, Professor Emeritus of Agricultural Economics at Purdue University and the Center for Commercial Agriculture. Always good to hear from you, Jim. Thanks for joining us on AOA, and until next time, hope all stays well, and you get a few trips in there, too, while you're at it, Jim.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Jess.
And once again, that conversation with Dr. Jim Minter, Professor Emeritus at Purdue University Center for Commercial Agriculture, talking with him just ahead of the 4th of July holiday, looking at that latest Ag Economy Barometer. And again, you can search for the Purdue University Ag Economy Barometer via Google or your favorite search engine, or you can head to the Purdue Center for Commercial Ag website and just go to ag.purdue.edu/commercial-ag to find more details on the Ag Economy Barometer. Coming up next, we're going to chat with Bill Bullard, the CEO of RCAF USA. He recently testified on Capitol Hill. We're going to hear about that coming up next on AOA Agriculture of America.
Hey, it's Crash Gladys from Speed Freaks. Are you still paying full price for gas? Stop leaving money behind. Get real cash back every time you fill up with the free Upside app. Simply download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and start earning cash at the pump today. Use limited time promo code IMPACT and get an extra 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. Listeners are making $200 to $300 a year just from buying the gas they already needed. Don't wait. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code IMPACT to redeem your 25 cent per gallon bonus. That's promo code IMPACT. Yeah, at first I thought it was too good to be true, but it's completely legit. Plus, you can cash out anytime. Don't let this offer drive on by. Download the free Upside app now by using limited time promo code IMPACT. That's promo code IMPACT. For a limited time, 25 cents per gallon bonus. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MOVE to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
New program called Field Forward, brought to you by Pioneer. We'll be talking to Pioneer experts and farmers about current conditions and all things corn and soy. We'll discuss the latest agronomic insights, tips, and innovations. Join us on Thursdays for Field Forward, brought to you by Pioneer, or visit pioneer.com. Again, that's pioneer.com.
I always had to be so good, no one could ignore me. Carve my path with data and drive. But some people only see who I am on paper. The paper ceiling, the limitations from degree screens to stereotypes that are holding back over 70 million stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time for skills to speak for themselves. Find resources for breaking through barriers at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. FANSA CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission, license number DC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need, AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And as we continue here on AOA today, joining us now, RCAF USA CEO Bill Bullard. And Bill, it's good to have you back on the program with us. I understand you recently testified before the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Antitrust, Competition Policy, and Consumer Rights. Can you tell us a little bit about that testimony and that hearing, Bill?
Well, yes. The hearing was titled Deregulation and Competition, Reducing Regulatory Burdens to Unlock Innovation and Spur New Entrants. So we talked about the fact that it has been the lack of antitrust enforcement that has caused the situation where we've seen over half of our cattle producers exit the industry. We see new entrants that are disinclined to enter the industry because of long-term lack of profitability. We talked about the need to restore competition to address the high concentration in the industry where you've got four packers controlling over 80% of the market. So the environment is not conducive to creating innovation and or spurring new entrants because we're in a declining industry, shrinking in terms of participants, shrinking in terms of the number of cattle, shrinking in terms of the number of marketing outlets. So we are seeking significant reforms, including mandatory country of origin labeling that would allow our domestic producers to compete in their own grocery stores here domestically with their superior beef product. So it was an interesting hearing, lots of good questions. And from both sides of the aisle, there is now a keen understanding that we have gone too long without enforcing our Packers and Stockyards Act and the U.S. antitrust laws. So that was my focus. And I think it was well received by these members of the Senate that participated in the subcommittee hearing.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up. I'd love to dive into that just a little bit more. As you mentioned, both sides of the aisle, maybe we're finally starting to understand just a little bit here about the situation in the industry. We've heard for so long, you know, the concentration in the meatpacking sector, for instance, and, you know, just all of this surrounding competition and more. But to your point, it sounds like senators from both sides very receptive to what they were hearing from you and other folks who testified, Bill.
Well, that's right. Senator Mike Lee was the chair of the subcommittee from a Republican from Utah. And he and Senator Cory Booker, a Democrat from New Jersey, have joined on to what's called the OFF Act to reform the beef checkoff program. Because the concern is that the beef checkoff program has been funding the very organizations that have put our industry on its present course. In other words, we're on the wrong course. And if we're going to correct it, we first have to remove the funding mechanism that has facilitated these organizations' successful efforts to shrink our industry. And Senator Josh Hawley, a Republican from Missouri, joined in and talked about his concern of how our producers are being harmed in a marketplace that is so heavily concentrated, and that consumers as well are being harmed. So it was rather refreshing to hear from both sides of the aisle a clear recognition of how serious this crisis is in our cattle industry.
Did you get a sense that this is something that senators are going to maybe move up their list of priorities to look at further, so to speak, here now that we've passed reconciliation and more? I know we have a lot of legislative things to happen in D.C., but did you get the sense this is something that has maybe moved up the list of priorities, so to speak?
Well, I think that's certainly true. Also on the panel of witnesses included the deputy administrator for the antitrust in the Department of Justice and the chair of the Federal Trade Commission. And so, yes, I do believe that. And Senator John Thune, the Senate majority leader, has introduced the American Beef Labeling Act, which would reinstate mandatory country of origin labeling. So we're working hard right now to get the bipartisan support on that measure so that it can be included in the Farm Bill when the Farm Bill begins to make its way through Congress.
And we'll be waiting to see if that Farm Bill can get through later this fall. Bill, as I understand it, too, as part of your trip to D.C., it sounded like you had a visit to USDA as well. Can you talk about that? Anything come out of that visit to the Department of Agriculture?
Well, what we tried to stress to the Secretary of Agriculture's office specifically was that we need this administration to follow through with the regulations that the Biden administration started in order to implement and administer and enforce the near over 100-year-old Packers and Stockyards Act. Those rules are critically important, especially when we find ourselves in the dire situation we are now, where our industry is shrinking at an alarming rate. We need to protect the independent producers from the abuse of market power inherently emanating from this highly concentrated marketplace. And it is the Packers and Stockyards Act and not our older antitrust laws that can provide the relief that producers need in that respect. So that was a main focus. Also talked about country of origin labeling, the need to reform the beef checkoff program, and the need to impose tariffs on imported lamb and mutton that have absolutely decimated our commercial sheep industry in the United States. And finally, what we asked for is we need the secretary to be a champion of the independent family scale farmer and rancher in the United States. And we haven't seen that for decades. And so it was a very good meeting with the secretary staff.
Well, and Bill, it's one of those things where we know a lot of these pieces of legislation and more will take time, but it's definitely things we will track in Washington, D.C. And I think at the end of the day, to your point, producers need to make their voices heard, right, Bill?
Yeah, absolutely. They need to find an organization that reflects their values and their long-term vision, and they need to join it and support it, because that's how we will get things done in Washington.
Absolutely. Bill Bullard, RCAF USA, President and CEO. Bill, as always, we appreciate the time, and thank you for joining us here on AOA. Once again, we're up against the clock, about out of time. Have a great week, sir, and we will talk to you again real soon.
Thank you very much.
Bill Bullard, CEO for RCAF USA, joining us here today on Agriculture of America. That's going to do it for the show today. Coming up tomorrow, we'll hear from National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue. He'll join the show for a conversation. We'll hear from Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley, and we'll also talk about pest management around the home with Dr. Jim Fredericks from the National Pest Management Association. For now, thanks for joining us for Agriculture of America. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones?
Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You know a thing or two about the moments in life that matter. You've seized those moments to embrace joy, accomplish great things, and build meaningful relationships. Is it time now to sit back and reflect on a life well lived?
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get 2 unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed, which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Great music, familiar local voices, news, and information. It's all here. You found Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Nelson, Maiden Rock, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Supreme Court in a written decision allowing President Trump to move forward with mass firings of federal workers. Justices did not rule on the merits of the case, which is still being argued in the lower courts. In Texas, at least 108 now confirmed dead from the